ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। समोऽहं सर्वभूतेषु न मे देशोऽस्ति न प्रियः, ये भजन्ति तु मां भक्त्या मयि ते तेषु चाप्यहम्।
I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also your friend to him. Here Krishna says, Name Deshyosti Na Priyaha. I have no enemy and I have no friend, and I am equal to all the living entities. So this kind of equality with which Lord treats everyone, all the living beings, is declared in many places in the scriptures. Just like the sun is equal to everyone, or the moon. The sun or moon does not discriminate who is a poor man, who is a rich man. The sunlight is available for one and all. Similarly, rains also. In the same way, the Lord says, I am available to everyone. I don't discriminate between one person and another person. I treat everyone equally. So he specifically uses the word dveshyosti na priyaha. I have no envy for anybody, nor anyone is very dear to me. One may say that Lord has acted in many situations where it appears that Lord is envious of somebody. You see, when Karna was extracting the wheel, Lord Krishna told Arjun, hit him now, this is the best time, isn't it? Or the Lord cut off the head of Shishupal in the assembly of Rajasuri Yajna. The Lord killed so many demons. Many, many demons were killed by the Lord. And it appears, apparently, the Lord is severing the devatas and destroying the demons. Like you will see, the Lord told the asuras and devatas to churn the milk ocean. But then ultimately he served whom? He served all the Amritva devatas, he didn't serve the asuras. So is it not Vaishamyata? Vaishamyata means partiality. Is it not partiality? So often, people who are atheistic might argue that Lord has been always partial in favoring the devotees and in defeating the atheists. In the scriptures it is said, Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva Asurastat Viparyaha. It is said the devatas are always Vishnu Bhaktas or Krishna Bhaktas, and they obey him, obey his order and fulfill his mission. And on the other hand, the asuras are those who are atheistic and who are against the purpose of the Lord. Yet the Lord says, I don't do any partiality. Then how can I understand? On one hand, the Lord is uttering with his own mouth that I am not envious of anybody, I am not partial, and no one is dear to me. But then his activities appear to be not in line with what he says. Appears to be just opposite. So that is the central theme of this verse. Kunjimani also glorifies Krishna. She says, Na veda kaschid bhagavam chikirshitam taveha manasya nrinam vidambanam na yasya kaschid dayitosti karhichit. Deshasya kaschin vishamam atirndrinam. She is saying, Mare Krishna, na veda kaschit bhagavam sikirshitam. In this world, when you appear, you do so many activities, which appear like the activities of an ordinary human being. Although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your activities appear to be that of a common man, like anybody else. It appears that you pick up quarrel with somebody, you fight with some people. It appears you love some people, you embrace them, you are always befriending them. It clearly appears to me that when it comes to Pandavas, even when they are in the Kamekavan or Vishakayapa mountains, one forest, you know, Krishna leaves his Dwaraka and he goes all the way to forest. And I used to ask him, oh Krishna, why have you come here? And Krishna says, I just come to meet all of you. And he has no specific business, but he just wants to be with devotees. Just stay with them, dine with them, sleep with them, talk with them, enjoy pastimes with them. On one hand, you appear to be very loving to your devotees. On the other hand, you are fighting on the side of Arjuna, although you said that you will not lift a weapon. In between, you even lifted the chariot wheel, that gives everyone a doubt. Probably you are envious of the Kauravas. In this way, you are siding the Pandavas, you are devotees, and you are fighting against Kauravas. So she is saying, Vidambanam. Vidambanam means, this is bewildering to the common man. A common person cannot understand. And then she is saying, Nayasya kaschit daitosti karhichit. My dear Lord, there is nobody who is specifically dear to you, and there is also no dvesha also. You don't have any enemy, not anyone is dear to you, but your activities can bewilder a common man. So Prabhupada explains this, how although apparently Lord may apparently show some kind of partiality, if it is properly understood, there is no confusion. Lord in fact has treated even those who are demoniac living entities by offering his mercy. You can see Putana, she came into Gokul to kill Krishna. She came with her breast smeared with poison. And Krishna knew that. But because her intention was to feed milk to Krishna, so what is the position Krishna gave her in the spiritual world? Dhatri. That was glorified by Uddhava. Ahobakiyam stanakalakutam jigamsayata yayadatiya sadhi lede gatim dhatri uchitam tatonyam kambadayalum sharanam vrajema. Kambadayalum sharanam vrajema. Where is there in this world a person who is more merciful than Krishna, who when fed with poisonous milk by Putana, delivered her and offered her a position of dhatri or a nurse in the spiritual sky, which is almost equivalent to the role of a mother. Krishna understood her purpose. She wanted to feed me milk, so I'll give her the position of a mother. Although she came with the intention of killing him, like that. So Lord is suddenly merciful even to the demons. When the Lord kills a demon is also delivered. Like when the Lord killed many demons, Vamasur, many asuras. What happens to these demons? It is said, as soon as the Lord sends an arrow or chakra or anything, as soon as that arrow touches the body of the demon, because it has already touched the Lord's transcendental body, now when it touches the body of the demon, at once it purifies him of all the millions and millions of lifetimes of sinful reaction in one moment. Just sucks away all the sins and thoroughly purifies him. And then he becomes fit to enter into Brahman or Vaikuntha also. Generally the Lord sends demons to the Brahma Jyoti so that they can remain inactive there because they were envious. Lord gives them moksha. He sends them to Brahma Jyoti like that. Like when Vali was hit by the arrow of Ram. So Vali first did not know, how did this arrow come? Where did it come from? So when he extracted the arrow, he saw the name Ram in that. It was written. So in this way, when the Lord kills anybody, that person is immediately delivered. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that all the soldiers who fought in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they were all delivered. They just didn't get moksha, but they got moksha and beyond. They got their own swarupa. The verse in Bhagavatam says that every one of them attained their swarupa, it is said. All the warriors who fought there. So, when the Lord kills also someone, he is in fact doing a favor to that person. Like Lord Narasimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu. Now, Prahlad Maharaj was very sure that the Lord himself took my father in his divine hands. Tavakara Kamalavare Nakham Adbhuta Shringam. So with his own hands he picked him up and kept him on his lap. Now Lord has touched my father's body and has kept my father on the lap, and he even, you know, broke open his stomach and took out the intestines and put on his neck. What more is required? Now my father's body is completely purified. Prahlad was convinced. Still, for the sake of everyone in the world to know, Prahlad Maharaj offered one prayer, specific prayer to the Lord. Lord asked Prahlad, do you want any benediction? He didn't want any benediction. At last he asked one. He said, my dear Lord, my father was a very sinful man. He tortured so many living entities. He claimed to be the proprietor of the whole universe. And in this way he was doing many, many atrocious activities, and all his sinful activities will lead him to hell. But I request you, he said, if anybody has mobile, please kindly put it off during the class. Because the company with Krishna is very rare. The sound vibration of Krishna is non-different from him. And this kind of material distraction is more than what we need in the material world, wherever we go. Right from morning to night, we are always distracted by material sound vibration. When we speak about Krishna, we should forget the whole world. We should just get into it completely. So what was he saying? Prahlad Maharaj. So he prayed to the Lord. He said, my dear Lord, my father was such a sinful man. If you really want to help me in some way, you kindly please deliver him. This is the nature of a devotee. While Hiranyakashipu made plans to kill Prahlad, destroy him, here Prahlad is praying to deliver his father. It's very surprising. This is how the psychology of a devotee works. As you see, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was actually praying to the Lord. He was put on the cross. On either side of his cross, there were two more cross where two thieves were also crucified along with him. One thief told Jesus, you are a son of God and you lead a very loyal, faithful life, and your life is glorious, but I have been a thief all my life. How sinful I am. So the thief prayed to Jesus, begged Jesus to pray for him. And Jesus told, my dear child, this evening you and I both will be in heaven, he said. And there was another thief also, who was a great sinner, who has been a thief for a long time, but he was ridiculing Jesus. He said, just see, God has betrayed you. You have been always praying to God and at last he has put you on a cross. What is the use of worshipping God? You would have enjoyed your life. So in this way he was making a mockery. But Jesus, for him also he prayed to God. He said, my dear God, please save this sinful person, sinful wretch. He does not know what he speaks. Please save him also. He never said that, you know, because this fellow is a sinner, you destroy him or kill him. He said, you save him also. In fact, he needs to be saved more than the other person. Because the other person is anyway pious. So in this way, the nature of a devotee, even when a devotee is thoroughly insulted, he prays for the person who insults him. This is a very, very ununderstandable psychology. Prahlad Maharaj exhibits that. And Lord told him, what are you asking, Prahlad? You are asking about your father. 21 generations of your family members will be delivered because you have become a pure devotee. Your father, not only your father's 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 father, so many fathers will be delivered. He said like that. In this way, the Lord, even when he kills the demons, he actually delivers them to higher destination, like he delivered Putana, or for that matter, anybody. In fact, it is only the demons who consider that Lord is my enemy. here is my enemy. Like Hiranyaksha considered Varahadev to be his enemy. Ravana considered Ram to be his enemy. It is only the demons who consider Ram to be enemy. For Lord there is no one who is his enemy. Just like a mother sometimes may embrace a child and another child she may give a slap if he is not doing his studies properly. And another child she may embrace. But actually she considers her children equal. She doesn't see one superior, another inferior. She knows that both are my children. Similarly, whenever Krishna does anything towards anybody, you have to know that that is meant for the ultimate benefit of that soul. Like on one hand, Krishna appears to be favoring Pandavas and establishing Yudhishthira on the throne. On the other hand, he is destroying the whole Kaurava army. For Kauravas, the best course of action is to be killed, to become free of all their sinful activities and be delivered for their own benefit and for the benefit of the world. Because even when Dhritarashtra was telling Duryodhan, when Duryodhan saw the Indraprastha and the Rasa Yagya and everything, he asked him that Duryodhan told his father, just see my dear father, Yudhishthira had such a great fire sacrifice, Rasa Yagya, and so many people came, so many gifts came to him. What is the use of my life? I feel like consuming poison or entering fire. His father said, my child, don't worry, I will also arrange a yajna for you. And we will celebrate a big yajna, many people will come and give sangha. And he said, who can in this world see his enemies prosper? Whether I prosper or not, that's not the consideration. They shouldn't prosper. They should perish. I cannot tolerate them surviving and flourishing. That is the mood of a envious person. He could not tolerate, Duryodhana could not tolerate Pandava's flourishing. In fact, if you read Mahabharata, you will see, after Yudhishthira finished his exile, and also the incognito period in Virata Desh, they completed the whole period. Now they deserve to take back the kingdom. And Yudhishthira returned with the Pandavas. And then he checked whether all the praja is happy, whether people are all happy. And he saw that people were reasonably happy in Hastinapur. Because Duryodhana, in the absence of the Pandavas, had supplied abundant material facilities to people. So that they will be kept happy and they will not demand the Pandava rule. They will be satisfied in Kaurava rule. And Yudhishthira saw this and told other Pandavas that it seems that Duryodhana is ruling quite well. Then why should we have a war with him? And then he sent Krishna's messenger and told Krishna that we are Kshatriyas and our dharma is to rule. So we need to rule, but we don't want to fight with him. Let him just give us 5 villages. Let him rule the whole of the world, and give us 5 small villages, and we will rule that and we will be satisfied with that. Because after all, we are Kshatriyas, we have to fulfill our dharma. But then Duryodhana said, when I am a king, no one else can be allowed to be a king. And especially the Pandavas. What to speak of ruling 5 villages? They cannot even get a land that could be contained in the tip of a needle. They should perish. That was his only understanding. He never wanted them even to be alive. Can you say anybody more envious? In fact, Pandavas were all like lions. It wasn't difficult for them to destroy Duryodhana long, long ago. Bhima and Arjuna were all waiting like the untethered bull. They were actually controlled by Yudhishthira. Because of they were all Dharmaparayan, controlled by Yudhishthira, they didn't fight. They would have destroyed Duryodhana long ago. But because Duryodhana was so envious, he didn't even give them 5 villages, not even 1 village to them. You can see that. So in this way, it is the demons who are generally envious of the Lord. So they are like a naughty child. As far as Krishna is concerned, he sees both of them like children. One is the devotees are good children and demons are naughty children. So different children need different treatment. Good children, like some children, you see, they go to school, mothers will know that. When they come back to home, they don't have to do anything. They just go, they wash their hands, they take the tiffin, sit and do the homework very peacefully. And you see that they sometimes go for 2 hours peacefully. But other children, as soon as they come, they throw away everything and go for playing and don't come back till 9 o'clock. Then you have to go and get them from the street, you know. And if required, give them a slap, make them sit and study like that. Similarly, Duryodhana are such asuras, they need this kind of treatment. Because they are so naughty that they want to grab and encroach on others' property. In fact, they want to grab so much that they want to grab the whole world. Observe the whole world from others, although they have no qualification. See the irony. He could not, in a just way, in a fair way, take away the property of the Pandavas. Rather, in an unjust way, in an illegal way, through a gambling match, he cheated away the Pandavas. This is demoniac nature. So this is the nature of demons. Asuras tat viparyayah. They are always opposed to the purpose of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. That is their nature. Like I was telling you about the Samudra Manthan, why the Lord is favoring only the Devatas. Because the Lord had told both Devatas and Asuras that you both have to be patient. And if I will be the distributor, I will distribute the right thing, whatever you deserve. But then Asuras nodded the head. And Asuras had already a cunning political plan within their mind. What was the plan? They said, okay, let Vishnu keep saying the same thing. But then as soon as the Amrit comes, then we will take it over. And then we will enjoy it. That was their plan. So as soon as the Dhanvantri came with Amrit, immediately they snatched it and ran away. So they didn't obey Lord Vishnu. So they proved how they are naughty. That is Vishnu actually. Dhanvantri is also one form of Vishnu. So in this way, the Lord says, oh, you are snatching, you think you are a very great cheater. I am a bigger cheater than you. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you are a gambler, I am the best of the gamblers. Nobody can gamble him. When he wants to gamble, who can stand in front of him? So then Krishna, when Krishna decides to cheat someone, nobody can do anything with him. So the Lord shows, so you cheated me by snatching it. Now I have snatched it back from you and I am giving it to demigods. And you all will be watching it, but you can't take any action. That will be your condition. So in this way, the Lord, He deals with demons in certain ways, which may appear to be partial, but it is actually not partial. In the 7th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll read one section. This is the beginning of 7th canto. The chapter entitled, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. So in this chapter, Parikshit Maharaj is asking a question to Narada, very brilliant, two questions he is asking in this chapter. First question he is asking Narada that, see here he is asking, my dear Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial? Like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemies. How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and be inimical towards others? So this is a very brilliant question he asked. Parikshit asked. So this is the first question he is asking. So in answer to that, he is explaining, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining here in answer to that. He is saying that, Prabhupada gives brief explanation here. The chapter summary will read this. Shukadeva Goswami proves that because the body of the conditioned soul is infected by the three qualities of nature, Sattvagun, Rajogun, Tamogun, dualities arise such as enmity and friendship, attachment and detachment. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, there are no such dualities. Even eternal time cannot control the activities of the Lord. Eternal time is created by the Lord and it acts under His control. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, is always transcendental to the influence of the modes of nature, Maya, the Lord's external energy, which acts in creation and annihilation. Thus all the demons killed by the Supreme Lord attain salvation immediately. This is the first answer he gives. So the meaning is, that because we are in the material world, the first thing is we identify with our bodies. We think, I am this body. Whom do we consider to be our friend in this world? Our senses. Those who can satisfy our senses and offer a sense gratification, they are our friends. And whom do we consider as enemies? One who puts sand in our sense gratification, isn't it? one who opposes our sense gratification. So this arises actually from duality. In fact, in the verses below, he gives very nice explanation. Just as there is fire and wood, or as there is water in a vessel, or there is cum or sky in a big vessel. In the same way, in the living entity's body also there is sattvagun, rajagun and tamagun. So the fire represents the sattvagun. Some people are surcharged with sattvagun. Some people are surcharged with rajagun. And some are surcharged with tamagun. So the example is given like the fire in wood, or the water in a vessel, or air in a pot. Is giving. And also when you compare these things, in a wood, there may be small quantity of fire. But in petrol, there may be a huge quantity. And in certain fuel, it may be even more huge. That means, there are different degrees of sattvaguna also. Similarly, rajaguna also, if you see, the water contained in the human body is very little. Whereas water contained in the ocean, is like a vast body of water. Similarly, somebody may be having lot of rajaguna, or mode of passion. Or, similarly, tamaguna also, somebody may have like a pot containing air. It's very little quantity. The sky containing the air, how big it is. In the same way, he explains that all of us, we are infected by these three modes. And the asuras are generally infected by rajoguna and tamaguna. By passion and ignorance. These are the two prominent modes. Because of which, they always imagine many people to be their enemies. In Srimad Bhagavatam, I think 7th canto, only later, Avadhut Brahman is speaking to Prahlad Maharaj. There he is telling, a very wealthy man who has lots of money, he considers many people to be his enemies. Like he keeps all the money in the bureau and locks it. But when he thinks, oh, that business friend of mine, he is always envious of me, he may destroy me. He may send some hoodlums to kill me. Or sometimes he feels, when I am sleeping in the night, a thief may come, break in. And he may break open the door and take the money and he may stab me and he may go away. So this way he is always fearful. In the middle of the night he wakes up and opens the door and then checks whether it is latches are put properly, 2-3 latches and everything, and he goes to bed, okay. And all of a sudden he gets a dream that somebody has stolen the key bunch. Immediately, okay, key bunch I have. So he checks it like that. Oh, key bunch is in my own hips only. So sometimes he doubts himself also. Because he is not very confident like that. He is always fearful. Because he is storing money, once the money comes, also anxiety comes along with that. When too much money is there. In the same way, a person in rajoguna and tamoguna, he always imagines many things. Like people in this world, generally they want to show off to others in order to become famous. All the big marriages people conduct, spending lakhs of rupees, or the big festivals where they wear fine suitings, they come in fine vehicles and they make very gorgeous arrangements. All this, if you carefully observe, is to make a show that I have money and I am making a display of it, you come and see. You can see for yourself, I am not an ordinary person. Everyone shows. You see, when they arrange a marriage, it depends on where they arrange the marriage, isn't it? Isn't it? If they arrange in a big hotel, where for one day they give a rent of 5 lakhs or something. And that also shows the status also, isn't it? So people generally want to impress other people in this world. And while impressing others also there is a fear. Because if that other person is too much impressed by me, then he will work for pulling me down. Isn't it? The more you impress people in the world, the more the fear also comes. You know, pull my leg. So we often think, that fellow will mar my career. This fellow will stop my promotion. This fellow will destroy me. So this fellow is planning. You will see that these people always keep talking about other people who are their enemies. Krishna talks about it in the 16th chapter also. Asau hatamaya. He says, Isharoham, what is that first verse? Idamadya maya labdham imaprasya manavatam. Idamasti idamapi me bhavishyanti punardhanam. I have so much wealth today. Tomorrow I will have double. And after a year I will triple it, and in this way I will multiply it, and I have more and more wealth. And then you think, who is my enemy? that person is my enemy, one, that is the person who is my enemy. Asau hata maya shatru, hanishye cha paranapi. He is my enemy, I will destroy him first. He is my first target. And then anybody else is my enemy? And then in this way he looks around and looks for equals in business, equals in his field, and then he always... In fact, I heard that nowadays in companies, they give a systematic training of how to blaspheme the other products, other company products. Like if you have a Reliance Mobile or whatever, then that company will tell you how to find fault with the other company mobiles. Like when you have to market your product, you have to pull others down, isn't it? Isn't it? Otherwise, how will people buy your product? You have to say, and they have told many lies also. You know that actually what you are saying is a lie about the other product, but you have to say it. If you don't say it, you won't get your pack, salary pack, in the end of the month. Yeah, this is the world we are living in. Pulling others' leg. While pulling others' leg, you are afraid. Another person is pulling your leg also. You are afraid of that also. So this is because of the three modes, especially Rajoguna and Tamoguna, where people are all competing passionately with one another. Even the demons, they were all cooperative with demigods, only as long as the Amrit came. Once the Amrit came, they took it over. And there was fight amongst demons only. Even amongst them, who will drink it? This is the world. Although there may be a very good unity amongst members of a company, working together for the sake of the company, sometimes amongst them there is a ego clash. You know, who will get the ultimate butter? I only did it. Isn't it? So, that is why he is saying, there, it is sensible to say that I have an enemy, I have a friend, that person I think is my enemy. Like, you know, you are getting promotion, you know, you are, you know, C level, you are B level, you are A level, like M1, M2 managers. So, if there is one more person in your company who is also equally experienced and one post vacancy is coming, and the person is always thinking, oh, that person should not come to know this vacancy. Otherwise, you know, instead of promoting me, they may promote him. And people try to find out ways and means to ascend to that post. Sometimes two people fight, and they lose the relationship completely because of that. Here, if you compare this to the Lord, has he got to compete with anybody? Nobody can harm him. Can anybody harm him? Here, Lord has a tenacious spiritual body, which cannot be harmed by anybody. Nobody can kill him. Lord is lifting the Govardhan hill. Lord's body is so pure, it is made up of Satchidananda. Satchidananda means eternity, knowledge and bliss. It is spiritual, it is not material. So, Lord is just putting his feet on a stone, and that stone is turning into Ahilya, isn't it? And Lord wants to create a sun. From his own nadi, he creates a lotus, in which he creates Brahmaji, isn't it? And Lord wants to, you know, subdue the ocean. He just sees the ocean with his eyes, as Lord Ramachandra. The whole ocean is boiling. Every limb of the body is divine and transcendental. And Lord can do anything. Last class we were discussing how Krishna just touched the tailor in his neck and immediately his head was cut off. He is very, very stressed. The Lord's body is completely divine and transcendental. Nobody can harm him. How many demons have tried to harm the Lord in so many ways? How many demons? Have you ever heard of Krishna losing the war anywhere, any place? So Krishna lost the war. Like he fought with him. Only that person he lost, you know. Everyone else he won. You never hear that. You don't even hear Shiva generally losing, but Shiva loses war when he tried to support Banasur. And tried to give a support to Banasur, even he loses a war. But Krishna, you will never find anywhere Krishna is defeated in the war and he is killed. You will never find that. You will always see that the Lord takes things very lightly. Even when he climbed up the mountain, when he jumped off the mountain, even the war, all the wars in which he fights, Lord has nothing to take anxiety. Because his body is of that nature, nobody can destroy him. Nobody can harm him in any way. It's not possible. Similarly, the Lord also doesn't need anything from anybody. Does he need any favor from anybody? Does he need any promotion in post? Does he need any facilities? Now, somebody may be thinking, I only have a Maruti, you know, I need a Santro or I need a Benz. But the Lord can get anything he wants. Anything he wants, he is the source of everything. He is creator of everything. So he doesn't need anything. That's why she is saying, Nayasya kaschit daitosti karhichit. Actually, Lord does not need to go to flatter someone. Like sometimes you have to flatter our boss so that he will not lay us off from the company. So keep him pampered so that, you know, when the reco comes, he will give a good recommendation for the promotion. Everyone does it in the world. You have to go to your boss and no matter how big you are, you know, if you are bigger, you will flatter somebody who is little bigger than you. At no stage this flattering stops. Flattering process keeps going on. But Lord doesn't need to flatter anybody. He doesn't have to flatter anybody because he doesn't need any favor from anybody. In fact, he is actually Varadarshaba, means he can give any var to anybody. How Lord gives var, you will see in the scriptures. Anybody asks any var, take it. Lord can give it. Dhruva, although you say that you don't want anything, still I will give you Dhruva Loka, take it. Lord gives Dhruva Loka to him. For Bali Maharaj, Lord, even without checking with Indra, Lord already told you, you will be the next Indra. I will remove that Indra and put you there. Lord doesn't have to take permission from anybody. Now you go to Sutala Loka, you will live there, very soon I will make you Indra. Lord told that. Lord can do anything he wants. He has a free will. So that being the case, then why should he have any enemy? That's a very sensible question, isn't it? Somebody we consider to be our enemy because, you know, he will do some harm to me. Or he will not favor me. He will favor somebody else. But Lord has no enemy and Lord doesn't need anybody's favor. But it is still seen in the scriptures that Lord is saying that patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakti aprachati. If someone offers me flower, fruit, leaf and such simple items to me in love, I accept it. Why does the Lord accept these things? Does he need food? Does he need dress? Does he need a residence? Who are we to offer him a temple and residence? He is actually the king, he is the master of the whole universe. But we do that because it is said, in Bible also it is said, God made man in his own image, it is said. So the souls are all tiny reflections of Krishna. We are all tiny reflections of Krishna. So if you decorate the original object, then the reflection also becomes decorated. So we are all tiny reflections. Some Mayavadis argue, they say that, you know, people will call God as Krishna or Rama, they give him a human form because they look like a human being, they also make God look like a human being. They say like that. But the truth is just the opposite, because the scriptures say that Lord made man in his own image. That means Lord has face and he has two hands, he has two legs. He looks just like you and me in form. He has a form similar to ours. And that is the original form. And we are all tiny expansions or reflections of Krishna. But we are part and parcel. We are all tiny part and parcel, called a separated part and parcel. So only when we serve the Lord, when we decorate the Lord, we become decorated also. When we cook nice palatable dishes for the Lord and offer him in love, then when the prasad comes, we eat the same prasad. We also get delicious prasad. Prabhupada used to tell the example often, that one who is a very confidential servant of a king, one who is very close associate of the king, he gets the benefit exactly as the king. Like you have seen somebody who is a very, you have seen in some companies, the owners of companies, they always have an accountant, accountant or an advisor with them, to keep a person. That person gets practically every facility the owner gets. If the owner is going in his car, he may take his car and tell the driver to drive, and he will be sitting along with that accountant or, I mean, the advisor. And he'll tell him, okay, where did you put this money, where did you put that money, you do this, do that. He'll go on giving him services. Similarly, when he returns home, when he is dining his food, then he will call him also, okay, you also take food with me. He practically gets the high class treatment, everything. Whatever that fellow is enjoying, the assistant also enjoys all the facilities. You have seen like that? Yeah. Similarly, a devotee of the Lord, although he doesn't take anything for himself, he is using everything in Krishna's service. But Krishna doesn't enjoy them. Krishna also gives it back to the devotees. Krishna accepts the bhoga and he gives prasad to the devotees. Prabhupada says, nowhere in the world you will get prasadam like we serve in ISKCON. Such delicious prasad. That too cooked in such a hygienic way, in a clean way, putting devotion of the heart into the food cooking, and offered to Lord with love. And anyone who eats that prasad becomes spiritually surcharged, like that. So in this way, we serve the Lord because we benefit from it, not that Lord benefits from that. Somebody said that point too nicely. We become fortunate by serving Krishna. He doesn't gain anything. you only become fortunate. For example, if the Prime Minister of India says that I am coming to Pune, by the way, because I like you very much, I would like to visit your house also anyway. No? I may stay for maybe 10 minutes and go. No. Is it a favor or is it a curse for you? He will think, oh, if he comes to my house, I have to clean my house, you know, I have to cook for him, I have to do all that. Is it a big obligation? You consider it a prestigious thing. If PM says that, you know, he is actually coming for some business to Pune and he also agrees to come to your house, it's a great fortune that you are having an opportunity to greet him in your house. Similarly, Krishna says that if anybody who serves my devotees, actually Krishna cannot be easily pleased. It's very, very difficult. He's Atmaram. Atmaram scriptures say. Atmaram means he's very, very self-satisfied. And it is very difficult to offer something to a satisfied man, just like any one of you here. Say, just now you are coming out of a marriage party and you have eaten up to your nose. Full. And now I try to please you by giving you some eatable. I want you to give one more rasagulla or something, one more gulab jamun. Is it possible? How can you give something to a satisfied man? So this example of a satisfied man is also given in Prabhupada purport. He says, a devotee of the Lord also is a very satisfied man. Maya is coming and giving allurements. What about this? Maya dangles a carrot. Would you like to enjoy this? Dude says, no. So I am already satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Nothing. I don't want anything. Not even this. What about this? What about that? She gives lot of allurements. Variety of allurements. Devotee tells Maya, what are you saying? I don't even want mukti. And you are coming and giving me bhukti? Because bhukti and mukti are considered to be ghost and witch, according to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami says, bhukti, enjoyment is like a ghost. Why he is comparing it to a ghost? People who have a very strong desire for sense gratification, they behave like mad people. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma edindriya prite apranoti. Rishabhadeva also says that. Nasadu manye yatatmanoyam asannati kleshati asadeha. So bhakta means mad. Pramatta means sufficiently mad. And unmatta means gone case. So these are Sanskrit words. Matta, pramatta, unmatta. So he says, nunam pramatta kurute. People are sufficiently mad that they indulge in kurute vikarma, indulge in such abominable activities, he is saying. Edindriya priti aprinoti. Engaging in indriya priti. They are like a ghost haunted people. People who are chasing after the mirage of material life in this material world in a godless way, ignoring God in their life, simply running here and there chasing for sense objects to enjoy and spending their whole lives in vain attempts for enjoyment. Such people are called as ghost haunted. Of course, actually there is no ghost haunting them, but it looks like ghost haunted because they are so mad, chasing. And they are kicked so many times on their face, they repeatedly try, again and again. Punaha punaha charvita charvananam, like that. Similarly, those who are attracted to mukti, he is saying, they are also like a witch haunted, he is saying. And just like a witch. Because those who even want to get moksha and liberation and merge into Brahman, they will not have service of the Lord. They will not get service to Krishna there. Because they are not going to spiritual world, they are going to Brahma Jyoti. Like that. So even a devotee cannot be satisfied. Devotee is already satisfied. He doesn't want anything. He doesn't want bhukti, mukti. All those things he is rejecting. What to speak of Krishna? He is Atmaram. So Krishna is Atmaram and the devotees are also Atmaram. That is why only this Atmaram can satisfy that Atmaram. Only a devotee can satisfy the Lord. That is why he says, there is a verse in Bhagavatam. Atmaramascha munajo nirgranta apurukrame kurvantya haitukim bhaktim hittam bhuta gunohari. Atma Ramasya Muniyo. These devotees are Atma Rams, but there is only one thing that can shake the heart of a devotee, that can agitate the heart of a devotee. What is it? That is Krishna's name, form, pastimes, qualities and activities. So a devotee is always sober and prashanta manasam, very satisfied and cool. But when Krishna intervenes in his life, then devotee's mind becomes positively agitated. And the devotee goes wild in chanting, dancing. Evam pratasva priyanama kirtya jatana rago త్రిదచిత్త ఉచ్చై ఏవం హసతి రోదితి రౌతి దాయతి ఉన్మాదమందిత్యతి లోకబాహ్య. ఇట్ సేస్ సచ్ డివోటీ హి చాంట్స్ డాన్సెస్ దట్ ఆల్సో వర్డ్ ఉన్మత్త ఇస్ యూజ్డ్ ఉన్మాదవన్ నృత్యతి బట్ దిస్ ఉన్మాద్ ఇస్ అ స్పిరిచువల్ ఉన్మాద్ ఇట్స్ అ పాజిటివ్ వెల్కమబుల్ ఉన్మాద్ ఇట్స్ అ వాంటెడ్ ఉన్మాద్ డివోటీ గెట్స్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ వైల్డ్నెస్ అండ్ చాంటింగ్ అండ్ డాన్సింగ్ కృష్ణస్ నేమ్స్ లైక్ దట్ సో the example is given Prabhupada says that the ocean as Krishna says you know apuryamana machala pratishtham is completely calm and cool and steady but when there is full moon in the sky there are big tides in the ocean similarly Krishna devotees they are always calm in front of maya but in front of Krishna's beautiful face that's like a blooming moon then devotee's heart is like a raging tide and with spiritual emotions like that. So in this way, devotees are greatly attracted to Krishna. His name, his form, his pastimes, qualities. And Krishna is also attracted to devotees like that. Although Krishna says, I am Atmanam, I don't want anything. When it comes to devotees, then he becomes too curious to know what is his devotee's desire. How can I fulfill it? Isn't it? Just like a lover, you see lovers, the lover is thinking about the beloved. The man is thinking, how can I please this woman? She must be having some desire in her mind. Let me find out and let me go and fulfill it. Why? If I fulfill it, she will be very pleased and she will begin loving me. That's the whole idea. Similarly, Krishna is also thinking, how can I please my devotee? What is his desire in his mind? Then let me fulfill his desire. My devotee is so much working hard for me. Day and night he is thinking of me, serving me, working in so many ways to please me. So how can I please him? But then he finds out that devotee has no desire. And if at all he has any desire, the devotee says, you don't have to do anything for me, Krishna, but you save these suffering souls. So devotee is very compassionate like that. In this way, because love is the binding factor between Lord and the devotee, that alone can satisfy both these parties, Lord and the devotee. That is why in the second line the Lord says, Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite tesh chapyaham. He says, although I am not partial to anyone and I am not envious of anyone, still those devotees who have fallen in love with me, I also love them. And I also reciprocate with them. Like Prabhupada gives the example that in the classroom sometimes there's a teacher who is teaching the students. And some students are dull-headed. They are just waiting, when will the class get over? When will the bell ring? They keep looking at the watch. And then as soon as the class is over, immediately they jump out of the door and they'll run away. So teacher also knows that by looking at the face of a person you can say, how much is he interested in the subject? But the other students, you will see sometimes, sir is dictating something or saying something, and then you will see, you know, nicely you are taking notes. Sir, what did you say? You will ask a question. You have seen? Sometimes even in the meetings you see, isn't it? Like, you know, 8 people are sitting in a meeting. Somebody is like, you know, sitting at the edge of the seat and noting down, okay, now how this project is going to go, what are we going to do next? Other people sitting, you know, sitting like this, you know. You have seen that, huh? They are thinking, Allah, I know my Lord, now when will this meeting get over? Their face completely appears sunken. Meeting after meeting, how many meetings? They get bored. You can easily see that when you see. Similarly, a teacher sees that some students are very interested in the class and they are very shrewd also. As soon as the sir asks a question, immediately they raise their hand and they talk, immediately they answer the question. So sir, the teacher becomes so inspired that he picks up the students and gives them extra time. Extra coaching. Sometimes he spends time with them after the class also, explaining how this mathematics or how this subject is so thrilling. Just say this. See that he teaches them more. Now can the other boys blame this teacher? You know, why are you favoring those boys? Why are you teaching them more? Why are you showing them love? You are calling them by names, you know. Each of them you are calling by names, and when it comes to us, you don't even look at us. That depends on how a person is reciprocating. That's why he says, Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maiteteshu chapyaham. Actually, sometimes, my dear Arjun, I appear to be partial to my devotees. Why? Because my devotees love me and I also reciprocate with them. And seeing that, some people become envious and they say that I am partial. Actually, I am not partial. I am just reciprocating what my devotees are doing for me. That is the way the Lord reciprocates with the devotees. So, in this way, Shrivati Goswami is answering the first question that Lord and the devotee, both are acting on a plane beyond the three modes. How can there be any envy Even a devotee doesn't feel envy. Even a devotee doesn't feel competition. A devotee never considers anybody his enemy at all. Yudhishthira never considered Duryodhana his enemy. That's why Yudhishthira is called as Ajatashatru. That the literal meaning of the word Ajatashatru is, for one to whom enemy is not yet born. That's the meaning. No enemy is born for him now. Now you may say, Yudhishthira, I already know Duryodhana is the enemy of Yudhishthira. But the Shastra say no. Duryodhana may consider himself to be enemy of Yudhishthira, but Yudhishthira doesn't consider that way. No? He doesn't consider like that. In this way, the Lord or his devotees, they don't consider anybody to be their enemy. I was reading recently in CC, Prabhupada says, a Madhyama Adhikari, when he has to discriminate between people, Ishwaretu, Dadineshu, Balisheshu, Dushatsucha, Prema, Maitri, Kruva, Peksha, Yakkaroti, Samadhyama, a Madhyama Adhikari should discriminate and see, oh, this is Lord, and he is the object of my love, and this is a devotee. And devotees are the ones who take me to the Lord. So he should shower love on them and befriend them. And then those who are innocent, he should give them bhakti. But then when it comes to dveshis, or envious people, what should we do? Avoid their company. Understanding that they are hopeless. Hopeless case. So don't preach to the atheistic people. But then Prabhupada says an interesting thing. He says, of course, a Madhyama Adhikari should consider such people hopeless. But then what should... But Uttamadhikari, he never considers anyone hopeless. Prabhupada says. One time, Prabhupada was speaking to some disciples, and one disciple came to Prabhupada. And actually he was fallen down before from spiritual life. And he had taken to all kinds of sinful activities. And Prabhupada had called him, warned him, scolded him. And he promised that he will be very righteous and all. And again he did the same things. For the second time. And then they brought him to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was quite angry with him. Again Prabhupada chastised him and told him to follow the rules and regulations. And Prabhupada was talking to Giridhar Swami, and he was telling, he was asking, Tamalakshmi Maharaj was asking him, Prabhupada, we have to draw a line somewhere. If somebody is going on doing atrocious activities, sinful activities like this, how can you call him a devotee? Huh? We should just throw him away. Huh? We cannot accept him in association. And then Prabhupada said, yes, you may do that. But I cannot do that. And Prabhupada said, yeah, Uttama Adhikari is one who never considers anyone hopeless. Like Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur considered even Jagan Madhe to be a hopeful case. They thought they can, and they delivered him also, surprisingly. Similarly, they consider everyone hopeful. In fact, Lord Krishna says, whenever Krishna sees the atrocious activities of demons, even Lord is upset. Lord is saying, Tanaham Dushatakruran Samsareshu Naradhaman Kshipami Ajastram Ashubhan Asurishu Yoga Yonishu Asurim Yonimapanna Mudha Janmani Janmani Namaprapyoga Kaunte Yatato Yanti Adhamam Gatim. He is saying in Bhagavad Gita, he says, my dear Arjun, these foolish people who are mudhas, who are indulging in sinful, flourishing in sinful activities, who are creating a havoc in the whole world by encroaching on others' property, torturing others, troubling others, envying others, harming others, such people who are envious of me and envious of other living beings, such people, what do? I'll catch them into lower species. He says, Tanaham Dushita Kruran. Like a dog or a cat or a cockroach or a worm in the stool. I cast them to lower and lower species like that. In this way, they will learn a good lesson by going to lower species and suffering for many, many lifetimes. So, Acharyas have written purport to this shloka. When the devotee of the Lord hears this from the Lord, he says, my dear Lord, wait a minute. Please don't lose patience. Don't think this candidate is unfit to become your devotee. You just take rest here. We will go and give a try to bring him to your lotus feet. Very soon you will find him chanting your holy name. And he will leave all his atrocious activities and he will rejoice in your holy name. Please kindly do not reject them. Because if you reject them, where is the hope for them? If you become upset with them and you reject them, where is the hope for them? Now of course we should not in the least think that Krishna is actually becoming upset with these living entities. That is also Lord's Leela. Lord is doing a leela here in order to reveal the gold like heart of the devotees. Lord wants to show the world that even if I become impatient, my devotees will never lose patience. My devotees will always want to preach and bring all the envious souls back to my lotus feet. As Prahlad Maharaj also prays. In fact, Lord has said, Namo Alayaya, in one of the prayers, Gajendra is praying, Madhrik Prapanna Pashupasha Vimokshanaya Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namolayaya Swamshenata Sarvatanu Brahmana Sipratipa Pratyagdrisho Bhagavate Bhagate Namaste. So he says, Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya. Bhuri Karunaya means Lord has a oceanic mercy. Namolayaya means he never gets tired in preaching to us. By seated in the heart as super soul, Paramatma is always preaching, my dear friend, why are you suffering in this world? Turn to me. Just surrender to me. I will take care of you. I will give you Radhame Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamami Piyantite. I will give you the knowledge by which you can come back to me. You just turn your face towards me. You just pay a little heed to what I am saying. So Lord is constantly pulling us, inviting us as Paramatma. And he never gets tired. Although we are going life after life into so many bodies, but Lord is also very patiently escorting us, hoping that someday this living entity will turn to me. And then I will give him proper sadbuddhi, and then I can take him back like that. Lord never loses patience. But then, in this way, Lord also shows that the devotees are even more merciful than the Lord, because they understand the purpose of the Lord. So this was one question, first question asked by... Maybe second question I will discuss in the next class. Now it's already time. That may take another half an hour. We'll discuss next class. Srila Prabhupada ki? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki? Jai. And we are performing and Sri Vaishnava are performing. And there are many, many people becoming God conscious. There is a very widespread awareness about God as well as law of karma. Many such things all over the world. The scenario is not the same. Things are changing, especially after September 11. Things are changing a lot. So people are beginning to understand. And nature will favor us positively, provided we live in accordance to scriptures. Harmony between man and nature, man and God. If that is followed, everything will happen. Somebody else had a question, no? Yeah. Point which I was saying that we appreciate friends, we appreciate those people as friends who favor our sense gratification, and we consider others as enemies. And he's asking a question, what should be the key attribute in looking for a good friend? Yeah. Actually, good friend is one who takes us closer to Krishna. He's a real friend. Yeah, who brings us close to Krishna. Yeah. One who reminds us of Krishna, one who helps, because you know, anybody, somebody may give you a birthday card on your birthday, or some gift to you on a birthday, or somebody may do a favor for you without even you are asking him, and it appears that he is favoring you. But all the gifts people give us will die with our body. But if somebody gives you something that will last with you even after you die, that will go with you, then he is a real friend. That's why devotees are also called as Surdam. Titikshava Karanika Surda Sarvadehinam. Devotees are also called Surdam. And Krishna says Surdam Sarva Bhutanam. Both are saying Surda. Devotees are Surda and Krishna is Surda. Like that. So devotees are doing the greatest favor for you. Prabhupada used to say, I chant Hare Krishna, I go back to him, and you chant Hare Krishna, you go back to him. In this way, both of our lives can be success. So that's why the devotion service is the most successful path. Because every other favor that we do will all be lost by the sands of time as it goes. Do you have a question? Yeah, Madhu. How to conquer? Which kind of enemy? Example we can give. By humility. Yeah. Actually, many times you have to go to the root of the quarrel. The root of the quarrel could be some misunderstanding. Or sometimes you have your opinion, she has her opinion. And whether you want to push through your opinion, isn't it? You have studied this transactional analysis. They teach all these things, how to behave with people. This is a big talk, but no matter how much transactional analysis you read, when it comes to the practical situation, we fail. That is why we try to become devotee by chanting. We chant Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna gradually humbles us, makes us more and more humble. And we will be able to tackle all kinds of people. There are arrogant people, there are irritant people, irritable people. So we can even deal with them in a loving way, it's possible. So we will learn that as we become better and better devotees. Chanting is the best thing. Along with that, you can also find out what is the root of that clash, how it came. You have to check that. It could be some, she feels betrayal of trust, because you promised her something which you didn't do. Or it could be that you have opinion, she has another opinion, and you are trying to push your opinion on her. That's likely. Or she is angry for no reason. You have to find out what is it. That is something common everywhere. Because everyone wants to push his opinion. Generally, what I used to do is, say, if my opinion will lead to 100% success, and my peer's opinion will lead to 80% success, sometimes I don't push through. Because then if his plan will be 80% successful, but if I bend down and cooperate, then that cooperation can lead to synergy. Synergy, 1 plus 1 is 2, this is energy, but 1 plus 1 is 3. That is synergy. So if you want to lead it to synergy, then the 80% can become 120% by cooperation. And by not cooperating, by pushing our idea, it can only be 100%. So this is something very easily said, but very difficult to be done. It's not a very easy thing. In fact, as we become devotees, we will come face to face with our own ego. We'll have to really face our ego. It's a very dirty thing, which we have to cleanse our heart. Oh, there is a long way to go. I have not yet overcome. I have a big truckload of it. It'll take. How I try it? By regularly every day when we chant Hare Krishna and we read the scriptures, many times when we read the scriptures, we read Krishna's pastimes, where we understand how Krishna smashed the ego of many, many demons. And we understand that we also have such ego. And we offer a prayer to Krishna that please smash my ego also. And we purify it like that. We offer a prayer. Offering prayers. And also when we deal with devotees, Krishna will put us in situations where we have to become flexible. I had a time in my life some 4-5 years ago when I used to think my opinion is the only opinion in the world. And I would never even pay heed to any of those opinions. Later I understood that like we talk about shift of paradigm, paradigm shift. We can see from so many angles. And 5 people can be correct because they are seeing from 5 different angles. And if you appreciate others' views, although it is said that you can appreciate others' views, although you may not agree with it. So that kind of attitude you have to develop. I was going for some leadership seminar and communication skills, listening skills and things like that. That helped me also, along with devotional service. But I can tell you, purely those skills will not help you. Because those skills are already written in books, and many courses are conducted, and every manager undergoes it, a listening skill and everything. Then afterwards, after 1 year, you'll see they're back to square A. But if you become a devotee plus the skills will help. He's asking that devotees give different advice. Some people like to detract him from material life, isn't it? See, there derives a great joy by seeing that you have a failure in material life or you are taken away from material life. That's not the goal. Prabhupada says devotion service is not for the beggars. It's not that only poor people should practice. Arjuna is the king of the world, Arjuna, Yudhishthira and all. And they are practicing devotion service. Many Raja Rishis practice devotion service. The question is not whether you are rich or poor. The question is that one should devote sufficient time for Krishna service. Like somebody says, I am chanting one round. And 3 years have passed. You ask them, how many rounds are chanting? One round. That means practically no progress. If you are working in a company, you tell your boss will see that as years pass by, you are able to take up more and more responsibility on your shoulder, right? And if you say that when you were a GET, graduate engineering trainee, now 10 years have passed, now also you are taking the same loads. Your boss asks, what are you doing now? I am going for rotational training. He will laugh at you. Because you should be heading a department now. And you should be guiding 30 people. Similarly in devotional service also, if people find that you have spent 3-4 years, you are coming, but you are still chanting one round, then they may feel that you are not giving enough time for Krishna. And you are too much into material circles. I know some people who are coming and I tell them also, why don't you increase your rounds? Why don't you make it 2 rounds? Your understanding is increasing, but that understanding is useless. It will remain theoretical unless you do practical. Unless you chant Hare Krishna, there is no use becoming a scholar. It's not at all useful. We have to chant Hare Krishna practically in advance. So that's why some devotees may probably push you sometimes that you should chant more. Make it 4 rounds, make it 8 rounds. You will see them, they are literally pushing you. The whole idea is to help you get a better sight in Krishna consciousness. Because you won't get realization. Things will remain. Papa says bookish knowledge is useless. He says in Bhagavad Gita also. That's it. Actually, they are interested in distracting you from material life.
Yes,
make you advance. Then it is not good. That's not proper. Actually, at least a devotee who is well situated will not do that. No. When we talk of devotees, there are millions of cadres of devotees. So you have to associate with those who are helping you to advance, the senior ones, associate with them, take inspiration from them. What is the use of finding fault here and there? This world is full of faults and Kali Yuga, needless to say, it's a ocean of faults. But wherever you find something good, pick it up and hold on to that, take shelter and progress from there. Hare Krishna.